Manzanita Voices. My name is Linda Field, and I'll be your host in this new series where we'll be meeting lots of local authors and talking about their work. Most have published at least one book, but some, like me, haven't reached that goal yet. You've probably heard about the saying that everybody has a story to tell, and to prove it, more people are writing these days than ever before. Writers' groups are growing leaps and bounds all over the country. Do you want to be a writer? What's your story? Maybe you personally have no desire to write, but you love to read books. Everybody loves a good story, so this show is for all of you. We're going to be on once a month in this time slot, so put us on your calendar. And always, when you're listening to us, keep a pen and paper handy because I'll be announcing coming events and where you can go to meet the authors that you hear about on this show. We'll also tell you about writing groups that you can join, and we'll be discussing how to form a group, what the guidelines might be. And later in this show, you'll hear about a beautiful book that we're planning for 2012. It'll be coming out then. It's on the delicious theme of wine, cheese, and chocolate. If you're a writer or an artist, we're looking for submissions. We're looking for poems, short fiction, photographs, and art to include in the book, all having to do with the theme wine, cheese, and or chocolate. Your submission might be just what we're looking for, so get that pen and paper and be ready. There is no better way to begin this series of radio broadcasts of Manzanita Voices than with our first guest, Monica Rose. Monica Rose is Manzanita. You've probably seen the anthology. It's in many bookstores all over Calaveras County and beyond. And there are several volumes. Monica published the first volume years ago, and volume 6 just came out last year. The full title of the newest book is Wild Edges, Manzanita, Poetry and Prose of the Motherlode and Sierra. Monica has also just published her very own book of poetry, River by the Glass. It came out just last month and has already been well accepted. So we're very happy to have you with us, Monica Rose. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Linda. It's wonderful to be here. I'm excited about my book coming out. I'm excited about all of the writers in our group and beyond, and those we have connections with in this renaissance of publishing lately. Many of us are getting our books out, and it's an electric thing. It's a wonderful feeling to have your work published and out there and people reading and commenting. It's the closest kind of friendship you can have.
I agree. You are a very busy person. I don't think I know anybody who is more busy than Monica Rose. In addition to publishing 6 volumes of Manzanita and your own book of poetry, you're also a wife, mother, grandmother, full-time teacher. Tell me about your teaching. Where do you teach? What age groups do you teach and the subjects?
Well, I've been teaching many years down at Lodi High School and Lodi Unified School District. I commute about an hour every morning and back, and that's my meditation time. And I teach juniors and seniors at that very threshold level of moving into the next world, and they're on the verge, and they're very exciting people. I teach AP Lit, which is
advanced placement,
and I have a particularly bright group this year, and every year and I keep connections with them, and they're just wonderful people, and you see them forming, you see how they'll be in the future, and it keeps me alert doing that. I teach English, basically, and creative writing, and I've taught the gamut, of different classes.
And I've been fortunate enough to sit in on some writers' workshops where Monica has been the leader of a workshop, and I have learned tremendous things from her. So I know your students are very lucky to have you for their teacher. You also started Writers Unlimited, which is a group for writers, and it's been going strong since 1984. It meets... And it's also under the auspices of the Calaveras County Arts Council, meets in the Art Gallery, the building on Main Street in San Andreas. It meets at two Mondays a month, the second Monday and the fourth Monday at 6:30 p.m. We usually run till about 9:30 or 10. Some people have to leave early, but that's okay. People get together in this group that you founded, and we read a little bit of what we're working on, and everybody has a chance to offer their thoughts and their critiques, and it's very helpful to help a writer grow. How on earth did you get this idea to start this group?
I've loved writing poetry and fiction for many years, and we moved up into this area in 1983. I was getting ready to prepare for teaching and getting out there in the world, and I wanted to find other writers out there to share the experience of writing. It's a lonely world and of writing, and it's nice to have cohorts and companions, and it helps you keep on track and it motivates you to finish your work. So I put an ad in the Calaveras Enterprise after having attended some writers' meetings up in Tuolumne County. It was quite a ways to go for me every week, and so I was meeting with the wordsmiths and said, you know, I think we need to have something here in Calaveras County. There was nothing at the time. And so I put a little classified ad out in the paper, and writers wanted. And we met in the museum, actually the courthouse museum, in the lobby, because we didn't have really a place to meet yet, and they let us meet there. And we decided, well, let's go to a coffee shop. And those days, the Black Bart coffee shop was still open, and we met there. And then,
how many people were in?
We had a small group there, about six people met initially, and then we got together talking to Jackie Richmond, who was involved with the Arts Council. And she said, we'll get you a place to meet, and, you know, why don't you join up with us? And so we started meeting at the Met, which is the Metropolitan, the Quonset Hut, we used to call it, and in San Andreas, and we met upstairs. And it was a wonderful group, very eclectic. We started out by writing exercises. We would do things like open the dictionary randomly, pick a word, and then base our writing segment on that. So we had exercises throughout, you know, every meeting we would start with a little exercise. In our meetings today, we don't have time for that. We really, all of us are publishing, but it's we've done that occasionally, you know, in workshops and things like that. But it's a good thing to begin writing with just something that's challenging and shakes you up a little bit.
It does help to have other people, too, to kind of egg you on. This is Linda Field. You're listening to Manzanita Voices. This is a program about writers and writing. We're talking with Monica Rose. It's good to hear how the writers group started out, because it's quite different than it is today. And we don't have time for spontaneous writing in the group. We go home and do our writing. But that's it. If we have listeners out there who want to get started with their writing, or maybe formalize it a little bit, and have some company to help motivate them, it doesn't have a writing group does not have to have a specific format, does it? It can be just two people who get together once a week and share writing with each other, and point out the things that they like about the other person's writing and go from there, right?
That's right. And anyone, you know, it could be a spouse, it could be a friend, somebody who won't, if they say something, you know, they'll be forgiven. And so, but they should be really brutally harsh and honest in the beginning, because even though you're tender, you know, about your work, you really do need the feedback to get you on the right track. And a reader perceives things differently than a writer does. A writer immediately loves their words and work, and then the next moment hates it. You know, it's a love-hate thing. But a reader is coming in cold, and they're bringing in the perspectives of the general public. And so you really want to hear what they have to say. And like my husband, for instance, is a really good judge of my work, and he will point out a few things that really helped save my sanity.
So he'll tell you when something does not work for mm-hmm. him.
Yes.
And he tells you when things do work for him.
Yes.
And that's always important. It's really important to have a balance, and always remember to say something positive. In fact, it's good to start out with the things that you like about the piece that you've heard if you're in a writer's group, because that does it. It otherwise, a person can be fairly crushed and almost destroyed if they hear too many bad things. There's always something good about what someone puts down on paper, and makes a person want to know more. In fact, that would be a thing to say is, I really like what you said about thus and so. Can you go into that a little bit more? And that helps them pay attention to the things they're doing right. Let's see. Monica, you also have started a publishing group here.
Yes.
And that is, here we've had the writers group for more than 2.5 decades now, but now Manzanita Writers Press has come into being under your direction. Can you tell us about that?
We've been formulating this press for a couple of years, starting slowly, trying to get a good staff together, of which we have a fantastic staff, and trying to provide a venue for writers out there who maybe want to self-publish or they're not sure if they want to go with a major publisher. We are a nonprofit, which means we don't profit from the work. We pay enough to, you know, for our expenses and pay our staff, but we're not going to rip off a writer. Our philosophy is that the writer should retain as much of their earnings as possible, and we don't do, you know, the royalties, and we just allow the writer to assist in his or her own publishing process at whatever level they want to.
Okay, well, we'll be hearing more, a little bit more about that. And remember to get your pens and papers handy, because we're also going to explain more about the coffee table book that we're going to be publishing next year, Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate. And we're looking for submissions. So get your pens ready. This is Linda Field on Manzanita Voices, and we'll be back in a minute. This is Linda Field. You're listening to Manzanita Voices, a program for writers and writing. And we're talking today with Monica Rose, poet, novelist, teacher, just about everything you can imagine. And Monica has just published her first book of poetry. It's called River by the Glass. Monica, could you explain what the title means?
Well, a poet shouldn't give away everything, but you should be a little enigmatic and puzzling. But River by the Glass suggests to me, anyway, and hopefully to others, that we see things through glass. Rivers, for instance, wild and wonderful, or tamed and subdued. We see much of life through windows, camera lenses, glasses, contacts, windows of any kind. Many of us are trapped in interior spaces for much of the day, which is a shame, but it's the reality for many of us. And as we're driving down the highway, we see life flashing by us at 80 miles an hour. Don't go 80 miles an hour, but in case you do, that's much different from walking at maybe half a mile an hour out in the fresh air. So we see things through glass, through windows.
So if someone has your book, River by the Glass by Monica Rose, they will be, no matter what their surroundings, as they sit and read this book, they will be taken into nature. They'll be taken into beauty and peaceful surroundings. And also there are some poems in your book that are different. They're not all about nature. They're not all about family and things you love. Many subjects and titles. But I want to tell the listeners, too, about the cover of the book. It's just exquisite. It's a photograph of a river, a peaceful pool in a river with pine trees reflected. And when you see this book on the bookshelves, notice that you can turn the book upside down. The photograph is perfect either way. It's just a wonderful reflective photograph. Monica, you've got so many poems in there that I love. Would you choose one to read for us, please, and tell us a little bit about it and how it came into being?
I could choose one that kind of reflects on what I was just talking about. Notice the word reflects, because that's what the book really encompasses, is a series of reflections. And we all look at life, and later on we'll think about something and try to recreate it, pull up that memory, which is really the job of a poet, to recreate that memory in someone else, their own memory. So we're triggers to that. So I'd like to read a poem called Eye for an Eye. My publisher is also has provided the photographs for this volume, and he did the cover as well as the section photos. And so they're all river photos from the Clavey River, from the Stanislaus.
And who is your publisher?
Glen Hill Publishing. And he's out of Tuolumne County, lives in Soulsbyville, and it's Ron Pickup, and he's just a fantastic photographer. So I'm going to read one for him. We argued about whether this, he really, really was annoyed by this poem, and I hope he's listening. Eye for an Eye. The photographer blinks an eye in an eye. He will never see the event in his lens. Locked into now, a flash will illumine what was then he was after. But later, it was the photographer who missed the moment, though his eye played upon it still.
Very nice. Ron, that's for you. Monica, are all poems mysterious? That one seemed to be fairly straightforward. Does that poem have any hidden meanings in it, or can there be some poems that don't have hidden meanings, even though you want to be enigmatic?
I think poets should have multi-layered, you know, subtle references and allusions, and yet in specificity comes universality. So if you, the more specific you are in naming something and going into the scene and describing it, the more clearly you can, for the reader, pull up one of their images. They'll say, the brain actually will say, oh, I've seen that, or I've seen something similar to that image, and they will pull that up for themselves. And so you're really unlocking those deeper memories that, unless you had read that poem at that moment, you may not have been able to remember that event. So I take that very seriously as a responsibility to awaken those hidden memories in other people's file boxes.
That's great. Some people, though, are intimidated by poetry. So what should a person look for or think about? Is there something specific that people should be looking for or thinking about as they read a poem?
There are hidden allusions, always private symbols that people write into their work. But I think if you look for patterns, if you look for repetition of certain images, certain words that are there in different configurations, you might be able to crack the nut, crack the puzzle. It also helps to also look up the writer, read more of the writer's work, then you get a feeling of a sense of patterns. And I think pulling out maybe some personal symbols of your own and taking a look at them and seeing how you might gel with other writers, you know, when you read those kinds of things. Personal poetry and private poetry is, you know, all the rage. People will use it for therapy. You know, they'll pour out their pain onto the page, and that's real, you know, traditional and bohemian like as well. But you do want to look for the artistry, and I think just reading a lot of poetry, reading widely, you'll start to see some of those patterns.
Yes, I find too that it always helps me to know about the poet themselves and their life and things that happen to them in their life. It always makes their poetry more alive for me. This is Linda Field. We're talking with Monica Rose, poet, teacher, novelist, many, many things. She wears all kinds of hats. This program is Manzanita Voices. Monica, would you like to read another poem from your book, River by the Glass?
I would. And talking about private symbols and what's public and private, I have a series of images in here and items that are pretty universal, but when you hear them, even though this is related to a person and this is related to their life, you can generalize into your own life and project what this might be like. This is a poem that was really dedicated to my deceased mother-in-law, who's gone from us now, but she had dementia, and I was with her, you know, for several weeks, and my husband and I both. And this is a powerful experience. People are going to be sharing this with their own parents, possibly grandparents. And it's just a little documentation of the experience and the two worlds.
See, knowing all that makes that poem already more interesting to me. I'm a person who needs to know the background, and so I really am eager to hear it.
This is called From the Other Side, and there are two voices. The first, they alternate between the person who's gone into Alzheimer's type of condition and doesn't remember anyone, and she's trying to communicate, and this is over the phone. Picture a phone conversation. And so you'll have the italicized first two lines, and then you'll have alternating with the narrator. Okay. I'm calling from the jail cell. I want you to know I hate you all. Dishes in boxes, the mirror packed, books in crates wait to be cracked. I won't be staying in this place where I'm at. I want to go home and see my cat. Christmas ornaments wrapped in tissue paper, dusty letters unearthed much later. I hate the daughter who put me here today. I'll get a lawyer and take her house away. The opera records scattered and lost, the TV console rescued, almost tossed. They'll see what will happen when I get done. I'll fire the quack who won't let me go home. Sturdy shoes and pastel pantsuits boxed, photo albums packaged, items crossed off. Do I have my home anymore and my rings? What have they done with all of my things? Overstuffed sofa goes to Goodwill racks. Cat hair recliner makes the dumpster stacks. I want to go home. Will you help me go home? Loved ones haggle, the paintings and end tables, china silver plates all have labels. Do I still have a home? Where is my phone? Throw out the dusters, cat box and more, pillows and braid rugs, junk by the store. I want to go home. Help me go home. The cat's at the pound, not at the neighbor's. No one comes forward to return all the favors. I'm getting out of here soon as I'm better. My lawyer's going to be getting my letter. The realtor visits, inspects the rugs. Looks like we'll have to be spraying for bugs. The food here is fine, but they can't cook worth beans. I'm getting out tomorrow. You wait and see. Medicare takes care of most of the bill. What isn't covered, the kids maybe will. I'm feeling just fine. Now, where's my cat? I'm not going to stay here wherever I'm at. She'll live on for years, says the medical team. Her heart is in great shape, and so is her spleen. Where is my home? I'm chilled to the bone. Where is my cat? I can't be alone.
Monica Rose, in her poem From River by the Glass. The title of that poem, again, Monica, is...
From the Other Side.
From the Other Side. You're listening to Manzanita Voices. This is Linda Field, your host. Monica, that poem brought tears. It was very moving and beautiful. Do you have another, perhaps of a lighter vein?
Yes, I do. Now, for people who love to write and play around and fiddle a little bit, this is a fun thing to do. Take any sources. I like to go to Starbucks and sit there and pick up conversations and write them down verbatim. Go to any cafe. Go to CD places. You know, whatever you like to do, but write it down verbatim and try a little dialogue. Try a little conversation back and forth. This one was based on the Wall Street Journal. I said, let me take a look at this language. It's a foreign language. You know, all these wonderful words like trust and benefit.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there. We need to stop for a break. This is Linda Field on Manzanita Voices. We're going to be right back and hear Monica Rose read this poem.
Thank you.
You're listening to Manzanita Voices, and this is Linda Field, your host. Today we're talking with Monica Rose, a poet who has been reading to us from her newly published book, River by the Glass. Monica, before we broke, you were going to read us a poem about finances.
Yes, finances and love. It's called Love and Finance, an Investment Venture. I got inspired by the Wall Street Journal. I was just reading some articles. I love to read the articles. They're very good articles. And then I thought, well, I'll venture over into the finance section and try to decipher some of the language there. And as I'm reading, you know, stock options, things like this, and capital and ventures, and I thought, it occurred to me that many of these words are actually very close to romantic words if you would just, you know, twist them a little bit. And so I said, what if I wrote a poem? I collected all the words I felt would work, and then I worked it into a romantic poem that has a kind of a sad ending, but not, maybe not.
I can't wait to hear it.
It's called Love and Finance. Options open into trust. A wink, a thrust in someone's direction shapes capital. She wanted security in principle, but ventured too far into interest. What were the options? Futures, exchange for profitability, a margin of error maybe. What would redeem her value? What would ensure her safe deposit and accrued investment? Her assets spill like liquid, at a rate growing in interest but lacking in trust. Mutual ambition will fund his eyes. Stocks split into late profit. Yields rebound briefly. Performance is flexible. Equity bonds too much. He looks elsewhere. A trade for gains, her loss at issue, evaporates into no guarantee, no disclosure, no dividend, no fidelity. The account matures in the balance. Withdrawal is complete. Account closed.
Oh, that was fun. That's a poem that you need to have to read several times over to get all of the meaning. That was great, great fun, Monica. Oh, my goodness. This is Monica Rose, who is joining us today here on Manzanita Voices, and she's reading to us from her book, River by the Glass. And we're going to get to her other book in a minute, too. Let's see. Monica, do you have another one from River by the Glass you'd like to share with us?
I do. Do you want something a little...
Don't make me cry.
Don't make you cry? Okay, how about Venial Sin?
Oh, that sounds very interesting, yes.
Yes. Okay, all you plagiarists and that... thieves and shoplifters out there. Shoplifters of the heart.
Oh, I've known a few of those.
And if you have had any secret sins, this is a great way to purge them. Now you should not mix up the poet with the persona. So don't think I've done these things.
Oh, heavens,
you should
no.
never with the poet. The poet creates this character.
You are totally innocent. I see the halo above your head. Yes.
Yes. Venial sin. You know, venial sins, those are the minor ones, the little ones that shouldn't matter very much.
What are the other ones? The cardinal sins?
Yes.
Okay.
No, these
venial.
Aren't cardinal, these are venial.
Okay.
Venial sin. You never return that library book tucked under your arm. The pen that found itself in your pocket wasn't yours to pilfer. The candy you snatched from the baby stopped your throat. The heart you stole bore you down. The lion whose cage you opened followed you home and yawned. The mirror borrowed permanently slipped and cracked your fate. The word you plagiarized lodged in a crevice. No stone to remember by, you forgot too soon. Next time when you get the urge, try thieving time and see where it gets you. Hidden under granite, a piece of grit in your tooth. Better to leave the clock alone with its flailing hands. Try lifting an easier mark, something that just slipped your mind, say, a handful of rainbow your watch threw on the wall before it fell.
Okay. Very, very much fun. Very good. This is Monica Rose, and she not only has come out with her book of poetry, but Monica, over the years, has shepherded six volumes of Manzanita, an anthology of poetry and prose of the Motherlode. She has shepherded 6 volumes into publication, created the entire idea behind the book, and our newest one is Wild Edges, came out last year. Manzanita, Wild Edges, Manzanita, Poetry and Prose of the Motherlode and Sierra. Monica, there are so many good things in this book, but would you select one of them to read to us?
Yes, I'd like to read this one by Gary Cook. It's very short. Actually, I'd like to read two, one
sure.
by Ron Pickup, my publisher, and one by Gary Cook.
Got to keep the publisher happy.
That's right. Manzanita, Wild Edges, we've actually had 6 volumes, and then before that, the publication was called The Journal, and we had 3 fledgling little volumes, and then we changed the name. So we've actually produced 9 volumes throughout the years, and so it's an exciting journey, and we originally started it to keep us publishing and to have a place, a venue for writers to meet deadlines. And so here's the poem by Ron Pickup, The Tuolumne. The silver sheen of currents under morning sun sings this sense of place, sings the symbiotic flow. This wild river so richly serves the golden eagles spiral into high space, their prey, a checkered snake, dangling long but firm and sharp talons, the quick slip of an otter into its fluid world.
Ooh, the checkered snake.
Ooh. Your favorite.
My favorite, yes.
Here's one. It's called Gary Cook's Cows Grazing in a Cloudburst. And we have this connection to cows. My husband has a few head. And we have this little place.
Yeah, you have dairy cattle, and they're
no
they're
dairy
very
cattle.
Good.
Oh,
no,
bite your tongue.
Oh, I thought they were
beef cattle.
Oh.
No milking going on there.
My goodness.
Definite line.
Okay, shows how much I know about farming.
It's okay. This is cows grazing in a cloudburst. Great skirts of rain hang over the hills. Horses turn away from the wind. Behind the trees, creeks glow silver under the low sky. Cows move their heads to one side or another, then reach to earth for the wet grass, the rain falling on their backs.
Oh, that's sweet. I love that picture. I have that image in my mind. And I love, you know, I just moved to Calaveras County from Sacramento. I lived in Sacramento for about 23 years. And I think largely because of Monica and Writers Unlimited and Manzanita Writers Press, I woke up one morning and found I had moved up to Calaveras County, and I live in Angels Camp, and it's just fabulous. And one of the things I love the most is to drive and see the beauty of the hills, especially since they've been so green recently, and see the cattle grazing on the hillside. There's nothing more peaceful for me. Monica, so you've done about 9 publications of Manzanita, started out as something different but evolved into Manzanita. And Volume 7 is somewhere out there in the future. Do you have any idea when Volume 7 might be coming out? And, of course, you're going to want submissions for that.
Right. We're looking at 2012, after the summer release of our Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate, A Taste of Literary Elegance, which is kind of different for us. You know, we've been focusing on the Motherlode, the Sierra sensibilities, and the flavor of this wonderful place we live in. So this Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate was actually kind of a fun idea, and we wanted to go more national instead of regional and see and put our place on the map nationally. So we thought this would be a great way to write about Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate and have a literary competition. And so we actually have a contest going through December 31st of this year, and we'd love people to send us a work. It's $10 for your entry, your submission of 2 items. And
if that's fiction, poetry, right?
Poetry or flash fiction, short essay. And they can be published before. Also art and photography. We'd love to see you represented there. People who actually win the contest, their cash prizes, but also the honorable mentions get published. So we will select from the contest entries we will select the contents of this book. So
this is a great way for someone to be published.
Oh, yes.
And to possibly win some money.
Correct.
And have a part in being in this fabulous book that's going to be, it's going to have a lot of color in it.
Oh, yes. And full page. Every page will be a glossy color. We're going to have wineries and cheeseries and fromageries and chocolatiers and fine restaurants and other establishments actually hosting these pages. And so they will have a part, will be able to have a part in this great artistic endeavor.
So if you're a poet or a writer or a photographer or a painter, and you would like to do something along one of these themes, it only has to be one. If you like chocolate, or if you like wine, or if you want to combine wine, cheese, and chocolate, whatever, do something and play with it and see what you can come up with and do the submissions.
Yeah, previously published work, okay.
Yes, yeah. And you'll find out more about the what we're looking for if you go to our website, which is...
It's www.manzapress.com, and we have lots of stuff there that you can see our other books that we've published. We have published Glenn Wasson and Ted Laskin, and we are going to be launching, actually, after our Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate book, and Manzanita will be, we have other books on the list to be published, so lots of people coming forward now, and we help them, assist them in the publishing process.
So the website is a really good informative place
yes.
to go to. This is Linda Field. You're listening to Manzanita Voices. We're talking with Monica Rose. We'll be right back. You're listening to Manzanita Voices, and I'm your host, Linda Field. This is a program about writers and writing, and today we are talking with Monica Rose, poet and novelist, among other things. Monica, you've been reading to us from your book called River by the Glass that was just published. Would you please share one more of those poems with me? I just love hearing them.
Okay, do you want something a little more ephemeral and abstract?
Oh, why not?
Okay,
yes.
This is called Solitude, although it's very, very accessible, but there's some hidden multi-layered meaning.
Oh, okay, so we should be listening for the multi-layered meaning. Let me see if I can pick out at least one after you read it.
Solitude. Pick out one face in the crowd of Sweet Williams, like all others, and it calls to you. What makes you choose this particular one for a brief moment of anomaly? A slightly deeper purple, maybe? A more defined burst of white? A larger crown or taller stem sends its head higher than others? Maybe this one selects you in the crowd of human faces, choosing your face from all the others.
I like it. Let me see. What I thought of when I heard that was walking on the street in New York City and seeing all the multiple faces of strangers that I pass day by day, and there is always at least one person who stands out that I focus on. Is that?
That's it.
So I'm an okay poetry reader?
You're an okay poetry reader.
Oh, good.
You have, and it's very zen-like.
It is zen.
Yes, zen-like.
Love zen.
That you have this idea of the particular and the general and the space and the non-space. And
uh-huh. Yeah. Monica is so much fun to talk to about writing. You just have no idea. Monica, you have not only written this book of poetry, River by the Glass, which will be available in stores very soon. However, you're also working on a couple of novels, and they're very different from each other. One is based on a true story, and the other is totally your imagination. Would you tell us about those novels that you're working on?
Yes, I'm working on two. It's very difficult for me with all the juggling that I'm doing in my life. And my poor husband is very patient, actually. But, you know, it takes time. And I've been working on these projects for a long time. And, you know, working on them as far as changing point of view, making decisions like should this one be a play or should it be a novel, starting with a short story and then expanding from that into a novel. So
which one is that?
The one that is actually started from a short story is called Dinner of Barbarians. And it's based on my mother's World War II experiences in the war. She was a German nurse, and she was the enemy, and really considered military. And she was in this little town, actually a big city, called Breslau. And Breslau is now in Poland. It was Germany, and back and forth that territory. And it was the closing of the war, the last 6 months in January, horrible, horrible winter. And the Russians were going to be invading. And so she was a nurse, and the Russian commandant took over the hospital, the makeshift hospital they were in, which was actually a hotel-turned-hospital. And, of course, all the women were fearful of the Russian soldiers. And so everybody kind of has a feeling they know what that history was about. And this particular instance, I'm taking my mother's stories and I'm actually elaborating on them into the novel. So her mission is to reunite with her parents, and her motive is she sees this Russian commandant as maybe a person who can help her. And so she's milking the experience as well. And his mission is to take a little space out of the war, 2 hours every night, and have some sense of normalcy with a beautiful woman. She's 21 and he's a little older. And have these little conversations about ballet, about art, about life, and pretend that they're in this world to themselves.
So he was a soldier who was very weary of war.
Yeah, it's toward the end of war. And she one of the questions she asks him during dinner is, we Germans and you Russians, we're enemies, but you Russians are so barbaric. Why have you done all this? You allow your soldiers to go out and rape women and elderly women and young children. What kind of beasts are you? And he said, now you have to remember, your German soldiers, they have leave. They go on furlough. Our Russian soldiers, once they're out in the field, they don't go home. And so they have to have a little relief.
Yeah.
And she's horrified by this concept of relief, and she's seen some horrible things. So the two of them, every evening, and she plots to get revenge when she discovers that he doesn't have the power she thought he did to help her, and he has a pet rat. And I won't go into it, but my mother's horrified of rats, and she said the rats were as big as cats, and she said you were just fearful of them, and so this rat will play quite a part. And
she finds a way to get even with him.
Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. And I won't say more. But
she has to have these romantic dinners with him.
She does, and she has to pretend. She has to pretend that, because she wants to manipulate him to assist her to reunite with her parents, who are actually trapped in real life near Katowice, which is a very bustling little city. And they're far away from her, and she would like to be reunited in these last days of the war, where everybody knows things are tumbling down and crashing down, and everybody's losing, and refugees trying to get out of, German refugees trying to get out of Poland by the millions, and many of them, harsh winter, they're on foot, they're lucky they have carts, carry their belongings, and they're asked to leave their home. My grandmother, for instance, was allowed to take her handbag. That was it. She took one last look at her home and shut the door and left.
There are so many people in the world who have to do things like that. It's so tragic, and it never seems to change. Mm-hmm. I do remember hearing about all the displaced persons when I was little, and I didn't know what it meant then. But I can't wait for you to finish your book, Monica.
Well,
come on, get going and finish that book because I want to read it. It's going to be called
Dinner of Barbarians.
Dinner of Barbarians. Okay, well, she's got to... Okay, we're going to make her finish that book. Your second book that you're working on, as if you don't have enough to do, is...
Well, I have actually a couple of books. Now, the book that I'm writing that's near to my heart as well is I See You, I-E-Y-E-C-U. And it's a novel about a woman whose husband has disappeared, on a fishing trip. It was just a casual little trip, and the canoe is found, and he is not. All his equipment's on there. And she, however, believes he is still alive. She feels him. She knows he is still alive. And she's looking for him, and she feels that someone in the community might know something, may have seen him, or may have some connections. And there's some dastardly things going on in the novel having to do with easements and an entity trying to take her property away. And here she is, this woman in her 50s, really not savvy about certain things, and she ends up being quite voyeuristic. She starts to look in people's windows for clues and listening in on people's conversations.
To figure out what might have happened with her husband.
Right, exactly. And so particular houses and that she feels these people might know something. And then she starts, evolves into this habit that she has. Instead of watching television, she watches people's windows and what goes on behind those gauzy curtains. And she's really amazed that so many people leave their window curtains open that you can see in, but they can't see out.
I'll bet nobody around here is going to leave their curtains open.
and she's not a bad woman. I had to learn to love her. I had to learn to, enjoy her, because it's despicable to me, this crossing of privacy. And so I have to force myself to cross that line and to see what that might be like psychologically. And so, all my friends out there, don't worry. I'm not going to, crack in your windows. But if you've ever wondered what people do in their worlds, in their houses, behind those windows, and try to imagine, that's the writing life, actually. That's what it's like to be a writer.
That's
just
right.
To create these lives and to poke into their lives a little bit, find out what makes them tick.
That's
so
true.
It's a metaphor for writing.
It is. And this lady goes off on a bit of a, she goes out on the limb and kind of round the bend a little bit because of the loss of her husband and the stresses of the legal battles that she's fighting. And she probably finds some kind of, it's her recreation to go live somebody else's lives by looking in their windows.
And she gets very involved with the people whom she's watching, and she cannot be a part of that. Originally I wanted it to be a play. It may still be. I can see it in my mind how this will be. And she's actually in this very large window watching this scene that the audience sees another view than she sees through the window. Yet she's narrating it, and she's thinking it's a love scene. And it's actually not. And the audience sees something actually different. And the reality is even something different.
Oh, my
goodness.
We find
out later.
Okay, there's another one we want you to finish. You got to get busy, Monica.
Very busy.
Now, you talked in this most recent book that we're discussing, you talked about the fact that you did not like the central character of the book.
Mm-hmm.
You had to learn to like her. This kind of leads me into, let's finish up by talking about your advice as a teacher and an author to people who are struggling with plots or story ideas or whatever. You don't always have to like the people you write about.
No, you don't, but I think it's better if you feel that you have some affinity to the character and you understand their motivation and really make them composites of people you know that you can kind of see the workings of their lives and see the ramifications of some of the deeds that they do. I've learned to love her as a character because she's quirky, she's eccentric, and I think, we've all known people like that. We've all known people who've kind of, they dance to a different drummer and walk to a different rhythm, and we have to understand them, I think, and they're lonely. Some of them are just really lonely and want to belong to a family or want to belong to, a community, a sense of community, and so she seeks that.
Huh, and she has a very interesting way of doing it. Just in the last minute or so, do you have advice for people who are wanting to write poetry in a nutshell?
I do. Poetry is a cry asking, is anybody out there? Is anybody listening? And I think as a poet, maybe switch that around a little bit and think about not is anybody listening, but am I able to share in a conversation? Am I able to trigger someone else's need, someone else's images that they've long forgotten? And so think about the specifics. When you're writing a poem, name things. Don't just say this is a tree or a flower. You know, come out and say it's a cork oak or, you know, a white oak, and go talk about its characteristics that have something to do with that condition that you're trying to sort out. Start out with a puzzle. Start out with a conundrum, and then list those characteristics and break it down, and then end with a little bit of an enigma as well.
Enigma. Yes, enigma. That is poetry. Enigmatic. We've been talking with Monica Rose, and I can't tell you how honored I am to have you here on the show. Monica, if you don't know her personally, I hope you do, because she's often in the community. She's an author, poet, teacher, woman who wears so many hats, and has contributed so much to Calaveras County. You need to get to know her, and you can do that by going to the website.
It's www.monicaroserwriter.com. It's MonicaRoseWriter.com.
.com. And Monica does spell her name with a K, not a C. Monica, Monica. And also Manzanita, Manza Press.
Right, ManzaPress.com. And you can find links to my book there and my website.
It's been such a pleasure, Monica. Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed hearing this first broadcast of Manzanita Voices. We look forward to having your company. This is Linda Field, Manzanita Voices. Have a wonderful week and get writing.
You've been listening to Manzanita Voices, a production of the Manzanita Writers Press, an affiliate of the Calaveras County Arts Council.